There's only three verses this morning. First, if we've turned to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. And then put your finger on Ephesians 4:31. We're turning first to Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. And then be ready to turn to Ephesians 4:31. Hebrews 12, 14 as 15, read as follows. Follow peace with all men and holiness, which without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man have failed of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now in Ephesians 4:31, we all read as follows. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. One more time. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come yearning for you to speak to our hearts. Father, we pray that, Lord, this morning, you would fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. You will give us discernment, Lord, as the Word of God reaches our heart, and that, Lord, we would respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting in our lives. Father, our yearning is to do your will, is to walk in the will of God. If the Word of God challenges us today, help us to rise to the challenge. If the Word of God asks of us holiness, help us to live holy for you. And Father, help our hearts to be loving hearts one towards one another, that you may be glorified in our lives, and that men may look upon us and say, truly, he does walk with God. O Heavenly Father, if there's someone today within the listening, that is listening here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, has not known your goodness, that today, Lord, would be the decisive moment where they come to know you as your personal, as their personal Savior. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you convict. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you enlighten. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us to follow you. Be with our preacher. Help him this morning as he preaches, Lord, and strengthen him. We pray that this will bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Kind of going to be a little pastoral, I believe, this morning. Guess if I would ask you to maybe imagine yourself in my office, maybe one by one, and I'm sitting across, you're sitting across from me, and I'm at my desk instructing you, if you will. I guess that's probably the direction or the kind of message it would be this morning. I just want to speak to your heart this morning about a particular subject. Bible says, of course, in our text, and I'm not going to read the Hebrews, we'll go back to that shortly, but Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I'm going to start with this illustration. A couple years ago when I was living in Maine, we, of course, had a home up there, and we desired much to do some landscaping around our house. We wanted to widen our driveway, and we had a couple trees that needed to be rooted out, literally. And we had this one tree that was right beside our driveway, and like I said, we just widened our driveway a little bit more and so forth. And it was about 8 inches. It was an oak, about 8 inch, oh, eight, maybe 10 inches in diameter. And, you know, I went and got my chainsaw, I cut it down, left some of the stump there, and I also had use of a bucket loader tractor. Said, I'm going to get this tree out of here. Now, I don't do anything conventional. Okay, the conventional way would be to go get a backhoe to get this stump out of there. The conventional way would be maybe use a stump grinder, get it level, you know. But, hey, you know what? I had use of a bucket loader tractor, and I said, I'm going to get that stump out. I was determined to get that stump out. They're not easy to get out, by the way. And but I went ahead and I dug around that thing, and I dug around that thing, and you know, I had my shovel there, and I cut it down, and then I put the bucket on top of the stump and kind of rock it back and forth, and it was loosening up a little bit. This is good. I mean, I said, man, things are going good. You know, I knew the challenge ahead of time. I knew it was going to be difficult ahead of time, but I said, I'm going to get this stump out. And so I'd go ahead and I'd rock that thing back and forth with a bucket and so forth. And I had a little tractor a few times. I had that literally. I mean, I had my wife was out there helping me, you know, screaming. You know, a few times I had that tractor up on front. You know what I mean? Because the pressure of the stump was lifting the whole tractor up, you know, and I, you know, it was pretty cool. But anyways, but you know, I kept working that thing. So after, and it took a long time, this took a whole afternoon into the evening. And, you know, I got to be careful, but we have neighbors, like everybody else. And sometimes you have neighbors that you know, and I know, and, you know, they might get this tape, who knows, they might listen to me on the internet, I don't know. But, you know, they watched every move we made, just did. We got along with, but just watched every move that we made, just that's the way it was. You could. They had a little window there. It was like, you know, which didn't bother me at all. So finally, my neighbor thought he would help me, and I was working this stump back and forth and trying to root it out and so forth. And, of course, I saw the problem. I mean, I had that thing good and loose, okay? But, of course, the roots, they are all spread out and so forth. And I knew what the problem was, okay? But my neighbor thought he'd help me out by coming over and saying, you know, this is impossible. I said, okay. You know, in other words, he said, this can't be done with a tractor. You know, Sean, this isn't going to happen. I looked at my wife. She looked at me. I said, don't you tell me this is not going to happen. I will, if it takes me all night long, I will get this root out of here. I will get this done. It will be gone. Okay? Lo and behold, you know, we worked a little bit more, and finally I was able, you know, I kept digging around it with shovels and different things, or I should say my wife was down there digging around it with shovels. Good job, come on, you know, anyways. It's okay, we can smile to this morning. But, and I had the thing, and so finally I said, you know what, I saw the, you know, I was breaking down every root, but there was this one big root, and it was into the ground, and it was huge. I said, I'm going to get that baby. I took an axe, and then finally I got my chainsaw down there. They say, you know, you shouldn't put it so close to the dirt, you'll dull in the blade. Yeah, I dull in my saw doing it, but bless God, I cut that root. We're having a revival this morning, and that stump was gone. And at that time, I wanted to go ahead and tell my neighbor, I told you so. But I didn't. I didn't. But, you know, of course, the root of that tree, the root was making it almost impossible to remove, but it can be done. And I want you to hold that illustration, if you will, in that mind as I preach this morning. I find that one of the greatest problems that people, yes, and even Christians, have to deal with is something that's hard to admit, though it is very easy to recognize. It is a human emotion that is most destructive and dangerous if not dealt with. And it will spiritually, emotionally, physically destroy any person who has it. This emotion will rob you of your peace and joy. This emotion will open doors for Satan to control your life. This emotion can hurt or destroy your relationship with your family, your spouse, and lead to a possible breakup of a once happy home. This emotion can make peace and harmony virtually impossible. This emotion can lead to breaking up of good friends. This emotion can lead to, there can be no biblical love where this emotion exists. This emotion will destroy any true relationship that one has with God and will keep you from growing in the Lord. This emotion will eventually defeat you and ruin your life and the lives of those around you if it is not dealt with. What is this poisonous? Yes, it is poisonous, and yes, deadly, if you will, spiritually deadly emotion. It is bitterness. It is bitterness. Which brings me to my title this morning, The Root of Bitterness. You know, I find it interesting in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31, let all bitterness, the first one, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I find it interesting that in the scripture that bitterness, of course, is the first of all the emotions listed. I have dealt with several through the years. I have counseled even young people. I've even counseled even some younger kids that there's a little seed or a little root of bitterness that is sprouting. because of many, many different things that we'll talk about in just a moment. I find that through the years, they become bitter about something or someone. And I find that bitterness leads to all of these other emotions. Okay, let all bitterness. And then I look at it, and after I deal with a bitter person, I see not only are they dealing with bitterness and wrath. Not only did bitterness go ahead and fuel wrath, if you will, but it also went ahead and it fuels anger. And not only does bitterness, okay, fuel wrath and fuel anger, but it will fuel clamor and it will fuel evil speaking. And the Bible says it must be put away from you. It must be put away from you. You see, bitterness comes from the Greek word pikria. Okay, you can check it out later, but that's how I pronounce it, pikria, the word meaning acrid, which means irritating, corrosive, or eating away. It can mean harsh, bitter, and it can be equal to poison. Of course, poison is very harsh, and poison is very deadly, of course, and it can become irritating and corrosive. Poison can eat away or kill you if not dealt with. Bitterness brings on hurt and anger and resentment and causes pain and unhappiness. Bitterness is what fuels all these other emotions. Then you have wrath, which comes from the Greek word thumos, okay? Meaning passion. It is easier, in an easier sense, a fierceness or indignation or hatred. You ever heard of the statement, I hate him with a passion? You know, and when someone says that statement, generally there's a seed of bitterness that's been planted somewhere. And the truth of the matter is, for a Christian, we are to love one another and not hate. That's all through the Bible. When one is embittered, it creates a passion to get back at the one who wronged them, and nothing will stop them, and nothing will get in their way from them wronging that individual that hurt them. Then, along with this, okay, you have bitterness, you have wrath, okay, then you have anger, which also in the Greek is orge, means desire. There's a desire to have revenge on that person. I'm going to go ahead and get him. And I know even Christians, they will even pray to God. God doesn't work like this. They'll even pray, you go ahead and you sick him, God. You go ahead and you sick that gal, you sick that guy, or that situation, whatever. And God doesn't work that way, but a desire to have revenge on a person or persons that did you hurt. In Romans 12, 19, the last verse, part of that verse says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. We are not, even as Christians, yes, maybe someone did do you hurt. Maybe someone did go ahead and hurt you. And I'm not belittling that. And I'm not, you know what, but let me tell you something. God will have their say on them. God will go ahead and take care of them. But the truth of the matter is, don't you let hatred and don't you let bitterness go ahead and grow so big that you want to go ahead and destroy that person. That's not how a Christian ought to be. Then, along with this bitterness, it will go ahead and fuel clamor, which here in the Greek means an outcry. I've talked to many bitter people. I've seen people even come into my office through the years, and because of their bitterness, it causes grief, and they'll just literally sob, and they'll weep, and they'll cry, and it causes much depression and heartache, and then evil speaking, railing against somebody. You know, it's hard to say kind things to someone when they've hurt you. But you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God says, put away the bitterness and be ye kind. Well, that's tough, Pastor. Pastor, you don't understand what she did to me. You don't understand what he did to me. You don't understand what my spouse did. You don't understand what that neighbor did. You don't understand what my boss did. God does. And God will take care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let him deal with it. But you know, if you're dealing with a sin of bitterness, we're going to get to the heart of it in just a moment. But if you're dealing with a sin of bitterness, don't let it go ahead and sprout up in you, because it's not just going to destroy you. It will destroy everybody that surrounds you. Eventually, if you let it go. The Bible says, put it away. Bitterness builds up, and these other emotions in you. Hey, the Bible says, put it away. Bitterness will destroy you, and before it does, why don't you just inside this morning, put it away. Bitterness will take you from peace to destruction. And because you don't want that, you don't want destruction, you want peace. Hey, why don't you go ahead and put it away? I've seen people who are embittered and bittered, or they have bitterness and all these attributes listed. It was fueled because of bitterness and a seed that was planted deep below the surface. It hurts, and all these other emotions came along with that seed of bitterness. And the result, listen to me, you're dealing with bitterness, and you let that seed get planted, and you stew on that thing. What you're doing is you're sprouting that thing. You are watering that thing. You dwell on it. You dwell on it. You forget about your job. You forget about all the duties that God has given you to do. But there's one thing. Someone wronged you. Someone did wrong to you. And I'm not belittling that. I'm not saying we ought to go around hurting one another with our tongue and doing ill against each other. That is wrong. But the truth of the matter is, we need to practice old-fashioned forgiveness. Because if we don't, that thing's going to stew in your heart, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to be like that root of that tree stump that I was trying to deal with. Why was I trying to go ahead and clear out that tree? Because I wanted to purdy up my place, pretty it up. But let me just say this. Bitterness will go ahead and destroy and make you not look so good. Yeah, I can talk to people. I'm not saying I'm the most perfect judge of people. But generally, I can tell by the way someone looks at me or by their countenance that there's something up. I've worked with people enough to understand a little bit. And oftentimes, and through the years, it was teenagers for so many years. I shake their hand, something was right, say, hey, let's go to my office. And immediately, you know what? I'd say, hey, what's up? And immediately they'd go ahead and sob and cry because some ill wrong was done towards them. I'm not saying I'm a perfect judge of character, but I'm not surprised that there's somebody here this morning. There is a seed of bitterness. And right now it may be just a little seed. I plead with you before it gets bigger and bigger, you better root that seed out. But there's somebody that's a little bit tougher than the seed. You say, preacher, it's a little bit tougher than that. It's like that root that you talked about. You know what? You move that thing back and forth, and it doesn't matter how much you try. It doesn't matter how much you pulled with a tractor. Doesn't matter how much. It's still stuck there. The truth of the matter is you've got to get that spiritual hacksaw out or that spiritual axe out, and you need to go down there and you need to cut that thing off. But I've seen what bitterness has done to young people. I've seen what it does to families. One loses the joy. I mean, the result of bitterness will cause one to self-destruct. One loses the joy of Christian life that it brings, and they focus on one act against them in one person, all because they've done ill, and all because they've hurt them. And by the way, you know what? All the while that you're stewing about it, you know, generally that person that has hurt you is on their merry way. It's not affecting them one bit. And you go ahead and you sit there and it's not fair. They're happy and so forth. The truth of the matter is, it's not really, yeah, it's their fault that they may have said something. But you know what? They're going on with life. Why would you go ahead and let it go ahead and destroy you? And it will destroy you. And it's also going to destroy those around you. Don't let bitterness do that. Bitterness will fuel wrath. It'll go ahead and fuel anger, clamor, evil speaking. Don't let it destroy your life this morning. One loses the joy of the Christian life by bitterness. It is started by a seed called bitterness. It affects you more than them, if you will. You're the miserable one and unhappy one. Your marriage is on the rocks because of it. Your children are out of whack because of it. Your job may be close to non-existent because of it. Your relationship with your boss is uneasy and is hurt because of it. Your love life with your spouse is affected because of it. Hey, what I'm trying to say, if you deal with a seed of bitterness this morning, hey, root it out. Take it out this morning. Don't let it destroy you, because it will destroy the relationships around you. Hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and go back to verse number, Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail by the grace of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. That seed that is planted, that you're watering because you're stewing on it, is that root is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And the truth of the matter is, it's going to become virtually impossible to root that thing out if you don't go ahead and deal with it. And no matter where you are today, maybe the root is so strong, you ought to get that thing right. You ought to cut it out and you get it right today. And it may take a little bit of time. It may take a little bit of effort. It may be you getting on your face before God and saying, God, I don't want this bitterness in my heart. It's affected my marriage. It's affected me. It's affected my work. It's affecting everything that's important around me. Hey, don't let it go ahead and destroy you. Hey, it may take a little. Maybe the root is so strong. Why don't you decide, hey, before I leave today, I'm going to start dealing with this thing. I may have to go to the preacher. I may have to go ahead and get some counsel. I don't know. I don't care what it takes, but I don't want this bitterness to destroy me. Hey, don't let bitterness destroy you. But listen, it'll trouble you. But also, and the last part, and thereby many be defiled. That many might be your spouse. That many might be your children. That many might be your relationship with your boss, as we listed previously before. Maybe other relationships. Hey, you know what? If you don't deal with it, it'll go ahead and give you a lot of loss. The truth of the matter is, bitterness is a choice that we make. No one forces one to be bitter. You can walk away before it starts, if you so choose. You know, listen, I don't know why, but I'm not always the most popular guy in everybody's face. I don't know why. Listen to me, being in the position that I've been in for several years now, and going out soul winning and being cussed at and different things and being mocked at on the job because of my stand through the years and different things. You know what? Me, along with a lot of you, you could tell the same stories. You know what? You could go ahead and have a lot of bitterness in your heart. And the difference between some of us that have had that joy and we've been mocked at and everything, but the difference between some of us in this room and we can maintain our joy is simply because we decided we're not going to let a seed sprout in our heart and destroy my family and destroy my kids and destroy my job and destroy my ministry or whatever the case may be. And the truth of the matter is, there might be a pocket of some people here this morning, just a small remnant of people here this morning, that you've got that seed and it is planted so deep. And it is sprouting and it's becoming very tough and your demeanor is getting different. You're becoming a little harsh with your spouse and becoming short with your kids and so forth, or whatever the case may be. Hey, I plead with you. You know what? You need to deal with that this morning. No one can cause us to be bitter. We make that decision. You can walk away before it starts. Many today could choose to be bitter, and some have. Some may be bitter at something or someone, but you know what? You can walk away. Hey, before it gets planted, and maybe you're right at the verge, you say, preacher, I've got that seed in my hand. I'm ready to go ahead and swallow it. Don't do it. I plead with you as your pastor, don't do it. Don't do it. You later on, you come down the altar, you lay it at the altar saying, no, God, I don't want that seed. I'm not going to go ahead and go that route. You're dealing with it in some other way. You've already swallowed the seed. You're stewing on it. Hey, I'm saying this morning, why don't we get it right? I find that the bitter person thinks they can be bitter only in one area of life. No, that is wrong. The truth of the matter is, you may think it's only going to be this area that I'm going to be bitter. No, it will invade all other areas eventually. That root will get bigger. Of course, we're talking about the root of bitterness, the cause of the root. A root can take place cannot take place until the seed is planted. When a seed is planted, then the root's going to grow. And what waters and feeds the root is our dwelling upon that situation, that person, if you will, that has wronged you. The root exists beneath the surface, invisible to the eye. No one sees it, but you do in God. And you know what? You're the only two that can deal with it. I don't know what it is. I may be able to go ahead and see by your face that something's not right. But the truth of the matter is, you know. The truth of the matter is, and you can't hide it on God, because God already knows. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, you two can make a majority, and you can go ahead and root that out if you so choose. I don't want to. I don't want to. You know, I'm going to hold a grudge against that person for the rest of my life. That's real Christ-like, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we are to love one another, and if we're not careful, you know, that root is going to go ahead and destroy you and everything that goes on around you. The seed gets planted when one has wronged you or hurt you and disappointed you. Sometimes a person who has wronged you does it unintentionally, being insensitive of what he said or did. And you know what? And that's oftentimes the case. I have known people, so-and-so said something, and the truth of the matter is that person never meant it. Oftentimes, and I'm not saying this is the majority of the case, but I have seen cases like this. Someone has gone ahead, maybe said something against somebody, some other Christian or some other whatever. And the truth of the matter is, out of a weak moment, they say something. They never really meant it. But because of some issues in their life and just a slip of the tongue, they say something and they never meant anything by it. And as a result, there will be a division there in the church or in a family situation and so forth. And it will go on for years and you'll wonder, what in the world happened? And then finally, maybe they'll come together sometime and they'll say, hey, you know what? Someone will be the real Christian and step up and say, man, what is wrong? You know what? You said something. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I never meant that. I want you to understand, you know what? I got a phone call before that happened, and I heard that my grandma passed away. You know, because of some hurt in their life, some tragedy in their life, just by the slip of the tongue. Less, that happens a lot of times, and people get bitter over something that really never really meant to be. But sometimes it is deliberate. Sometimes people will just go ahead and say things because they want to hurt, and that's not right. But in either case, it sprouts a seed. What do we do? What we do is, if it's not dealt with properly, instead of returning love for hurt, we disregard the grace of God, which is His unmerited favor. You know, God forgives a sinner. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, just as God forgives a sinner who does not deserve to be forgiven, none of us here this morning deserve to be forgiven. None of us. But I thank God for His grace. I thank God for His love and His mercy. And He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross so I could have eternal life. And it's only through Jesus Christ that I can get to heaven one day. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I thank God. I thank God that He forgave me. Doesn't matter who you are this morning, He'll go ahead and forgive you. And boy, you know what? That kind of forgiveness is something we ought to emulate. That kind of forgiveness is something that we ought to adopt in our lives. Yes, someone may have wronged you, but why not we be the Christ-like one and say, hey, you know what? Let's get this thing right. Amen. That's what Christianity is all about. Bitterness begins when instead of forgiving as God hath forgiven, we become resentful and bitterness grows towards them. It will not even speak to them or apologize to them until they change their behavior. It might be we ought to just change our behavior. Yeah, maybe we were the one that's wronged. But the truth of the matter is, it might be that we ought to change our behavior. Hey, you know what? Let me just give you a few reasons why some of you may be bitter today. Maybe it's recent, something that happened recently. Maybe it's something that went way back. But let me give you some reasons. Bitterness, number one, has resulted when a child does not feel their parents has spent enough time with them. You know, let me just say this. I cannot tell you the importance of spending time with your children. You know, parent, they need you and your love and counsel. It is wrong if we don't find time for your child. You know, the greatest love, the way that you can love your child is to spend time with them. Well, you say, preacher, you don't understand. I don't always have the time, but boy, I buy things. You know what? Them things are going to pass away, but you will never be able to make up for that time. You have it for 18 years, and the truth of the matter is, you may think, and I'm not saying you shouldn't give your kids things. I think that is a way you can show love, but the truth of the matter is, the greatest way that you can show your child that you love them is just stopping what you're doing and spending some time with them, teaching them the Word of God, spending time with them. The other day, some of the ways that I, you know, and by the way, we can find the time. We really can. And the other day, I love this. Whenever, especially my teenagers say, hey, Dad, can I go with you somewhere? You know, sometimes they're busy and different things. And the other day, my daughter says, you know, we were going, maybe it was because we were going to Taco Bell. I have no idea. But we were actually going. She says, no, Dad, I want to. I said that. I said, you want to go just because we're going to Taco Bell and we're picking up food and bringing it back. No, Dad. And she just, very quietly, she says, I just want to ride with you. And I said, you know what, I like that. You know, shut the radio off. I mean, and we just talked. You know what? I can never make up for that. I'll never have that time over again. The truth of the matter is, you know what? We make time for everything else in the world, for our sports and for everything else and all that. And I'm not against all that, but the truth of the matter is, if all of that takes you away from the time for your kids, that's where the problem comes. And you know what? The truth of the matter is a bitterness can be resulted from maybe some of you today, maybe an adult today, you look back and you have a little bit of bitterness towards mom and dad because maybe they didn't spend proper time with you. You know what? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? One way to spend time is eat supper with your family. Take them for a ride. Go out to eat with them, just individually if you can. Sit in the living room and talk with them. You'll not have them forever. And children, off. Time leaves a home with the wrong idea of what a close family is all about because we don't spend time. I hope that we can be noted somewhat that we're a close family. And let me say this, through a lot of the things that have gone on in our life personally the last few years, you know what, God has just drawn us closer together. And I thank God, I really do, I thank God for the time that I can have with my kids. I don't have them for 18 years. And you know what, my oldest daughter, it's not very long before, you know, she's talking about college. You know, and boy, my 18 years, so to speak, is almost up with her. I'll never have the chance to go ahead and have this time now. Hey, you know what, but sometimes bitterness oftentimes is sprouted simply because a child does not feel their parents have spent enough time with. Number two, another reason for bitterness. Bitterness can result when a brother or sister is favored over another. We shouldn't show favoritism. Your child may not excel in some sport, but praise them for what they can excel in. You know, I've seen dads, you know, hey, good job, boy, you are the greatest hoop. You can go ahead, you got the form, you've got the greatest form behind the baseball plate. You can go ahead and play sports, and they'll go ahead and praise them, and maybe their other son or their other child doesn't have that same ability, but they got something. But we'll go ahead and hoot and holler for the one that's got the ability of things that we think is important. The truth of the matter is, all of your kids ought to be important. If they can go ahead and excel, and by the way, we oftentimes overlook the things that they really can excel in. Maybe they are very studious. Well, thank God that you got a smart kid. Boy, you know what? Maybe they can't shoot the hoops like they could or run as fast as the other, but the truth of the matter is they can do something. They ought to praise God and praise Him. Hey, good job, boy. Good job. Hey, you know what? English, you know, you got an A on English. That's an accomplishment, man. I know it is. I can break my English up and better than anybody else. Amen. You know, English was not my subject. And I'll tell you stories about that. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We shouldn't show favorites. And oftentimes there'll be some resentment there because a parent will go ahead and spend more time. You know what? I want to plead with your parents right now. You got to spend time with your kids. You got them right now. You've only got them for a little while. You got to spend time with your kids, but don't you show favorites. You got to treat them evenly. Evenly and praise them for the things that they can do. Maybe they can't. You know what, dads, and I know that we're sports oriented. I know that we like to see the home team win and so forth, but maybe they can't excel in that area that you so enjoy. But praise them for the areas that they do excel in. You know how to praise them. Does my heart good when I see my boy or my children on their own personal time read the Word of God? You know, oftentimes, I'm not bragging, it's just, I just tell a story. Oftentimes, I walk by my son's office at night, and he's there reading his Bible. Sometimes I just stop, hey, good job, son. He knows what I'm talking about. You know, he knows the importance of walking with God. I'm trying to say, you know what, you gotta praise your kids. Praise them for the things that they can do. Hey, number three, bitterness can result when a leader disappoints us. It is natural to expect the best from our leaders, but when we do not receive the best from our leaders, bitterness can set in. You know, I've seen, when I was in college, I'd see college students go ahead and quit college simply because of a pastor, a youth pastor that was very close to them, that helped nurture them to a point where they could go to Bible college and different things. I'd seen this a lot through the years, especially when I was at Bible college. Kids go ahead and turn around and quit. They sat under a man of God for many years, but he gets some phone call, he or she gets some phone call while they're in college. And find out that the man of God, their man of God ran off with some woman or the secretary and so forth, committed adultery and had to leave the ministry. And this can lead to bitterness in a student and can go ahead and hurt them to a point where they'll go ahead and quit the very will of God. And they never do follow God's perfect will. Boy, that's so very important. You know, bitterness can result when our leader disappoints us. I've seen students get bitter by such actions and quit and not ever reaching their full potential for God. Hey, you know, Sunday school teacher, we need to guard ourselves. You're looked up to. Hey, dad, we need to guard ourselves. Hey, mom, we need to guard ourselves. Hey, preacher, we need to guard ourselves. Hey, youth worker, we need to guard ourselves. I had a teenager in my youth department back in Maine. Went off to Bible college. Sweet young lady. Shortly after getting there, her parents divorced because of adultery and on both ends. Just very, very weird situation. But I saw this coming months before. During her senior year of high school, I saw things coming. Even my wife and I talked about it. We saw this coming. We were just very quiet about it. But I pulled her in my office before she went off to Bible college that summer. I said, listen, no matter what happens, you're getting ready to go to college in a few weeks, a couple days. I looked her straight in the eye and I said, no matter what happens back here, you keep on keeping on. She kind of scrapped. She says, Brother Sean, what? Just keep on keeping on. She didn't understand it. I don't think it was a week that she was in Bible college and she found out her parents stayed together just until she got off to Bible college and they divorced. And she called, ready to quit. And she was weeping on the phone, talking to me on the phone. And she says, Brother Sean, now I know what you mean. But Brother Sean, I'm not going to quit. You told me not to quit. You told me not to quit. But it hurts. And she could have let bitterness go ahead and that seed could have gone ahead and been birthed, if you will, in her heart. And had she decided, you know what, forget it, it's not worth it. God's will is not worth it. Today she would not be enjoying the man of God that she has. She married so well. A man that loves her. She married a man at Bible college there. Met a man at Bible college, married her. And now they're serving in church. She's a junior church preacher. Some wonderful children. They're a lovely family. Hey, let me tell you something. Had she gone ahead and quit and let bitterness sprout up, I promise you she'd never have all that she's having now. And that is a testimony from her mouth to me. She says, Brother Sean, I heard her say it. She still calls me Brother Sean to this day. That's fine. That's just the way it is. But the truth of the matter is, she says, I thank God I never turned back. I said, you know, I thank God you never turned back too. And I said, look at what you got. Little kids running around and walking around, you know, that's joy. And the husband that cares for her and takes care of her, hey, listen, bitterness can destroy you. Bitterness results because of absence of a leader's approval. It is natural to want a little credit for something. If your child does well in school, praise them for it. We talked a little bit about this. You know, if your child, you know, especially if your child has a hard time in a subject at school, you know, you ought to look at the little things. Your child has a hard time with a subject in school, and if they did their best and they come home with a report card and they got a C, that's good. You know, you ought to recognize that. You know, boy, they struggled all quarter for that C, and you know, and I'll go ahead and say, hey, did you do your best? Yes, sir. Yes, Dad, I did my best. Man, good job, man. Good job. But you know what? We oftentimes overlook all that and say, hey, you could have done better. You know what? We'll oftentimes use words that we shouldn't. You're stupid, you're dumb, you're ignorant, all this other stuff, and you go ahead. What is that planting in their mind? That's planting in their mind that my dad thinks I'm a no good somebody, nobody. that we need to be very careful, and if we're not careful, bitterness will sprout. Bitterness can be a result of physical abuse. I'm not talking about spanking. That is biblical. We've talked a lot about that in the last several weeks. I'm talking about hitting and slapping and kicking. We must never discipline our kids in anger. You know, your kids do wrong. Listen to me. Your kids do wrong. Yes, there is a consequence according to the Bible, but you settle yourself down before you go ahead and you swat them. And no man should ever strike his wife. If he is, he's a coward. I'll say it again. No man. That's not manly, by the way. You know, and it's no wonder why your wife goes around scared and so forth, because there's a seed of bitterness there. And if she makes one wrong move, what she'll do, you come home and slap her. So help us. That happens a lot today. Hey, bitterness can result in not receiving something we wanted. Yes, bitterness can be a result of covetousness. It can be. Sometimes we want, man, it's not fair. They got this. They got that new car. Why can't I? You know, but we got to be careful not to let the seed of bitterness. Bitterness can result in jealousy. Hey, you know what? It can become so deep-rooted. Hey, you know what? Maybe some of them things I talked about, you're dealing with it. It may happen a long time ago. And it's so deep. And it's so rooted in. But let me tell you something. There's a way out. You can, if you so choose, you can cut it out. You can cut it out of there. So deep-rooted that you almost want to quit. People maybe are scoffing at you, kind of like my neighbor did in a way. Said, this is impossible. Oh, no, it isn't. Nothing's impossible with God. You know, and they may say, it's too deep, but it cannot be cut out. Oh, yes, it can. It is time to take the root and work it out with a spiritual axe and cut it out of there. It can be done, and it must be done if you're going to keep your joy. Is bitterness really worth robbing your joy? Is bitterness really worth losing your family? Is bitterness really worth losing your precious relationships and your spouse and your children? Is bitterness really worth losing a precious relationship with God? And God is the one that can go ahead and cut it out and pull it out. Is bitterness really worth taking over your life? You know, if God is a God of peace, bitterness really won't be a problem. And if you have a close walk with God, even when someone fails you and does you wrong, you keep a walk with God, you know what? You will enable to shrug that off. You know why? Because you're so close to your walk with God. If God is a God of love, He will give you the love you need to go ahead and overcome it. By the way, bitterness ever takes over the life of a Christian, it really does prove where God really is in our life. Jesus on the cross, He could have been bitter. He was subject to like passions like you and I. The soldiers were mocking Him and Pilate, and all, you know the whole story, but you know what? And He could have been bitter at the soldiers and Pilate and all those that put Him on that cross and the whole world. He could have been bitter even at His Father if He so chose, but His response was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I say He understood quite well what Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So what is the solution? And I'm going to be through here in just a couple of minutes. What's the solution? Number one, the bitter person must admit that bitterness is sin. It's a sin to be bitter. You know, the Bible says that King David writes in Psalms 51:3, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Romans 3, and I'm not going to turn to it for the sake of time, but Romans 3, 10 through 18, God lists the sin of bitterness with murder and the shedding of innocent blood. It is sin, and we must confess it. The bitter person must come before God and confess his or her sin of bitterness. So that is the solution. You must first come to grips with it and understand this is wrong, this is wrong, this is destroying my family, it's destroying my peace, and it is sin, and you must come before God and say, oh God, forgive me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And number two, the bitter person needs to confess his sin of bitterness. I just quoted verse 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. You know, we must confess our sin not only to God, but you know, here's a tough one. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, the Bible teaches here, yes, you got to confess that sin to God. But you know a long way to healing. Because there's bitterness in your heart. You know one sure way to heal that deep-rooted bitterness? If you go to that person, yes, who caused you to be bitter. They wronged you. But the Bible says we're to love one another, and you go confess your fault of bitterness to him or her. And you go to him and you say, hey, listen, sir, I'm sorry. And maybe, what are you sorry for, man? You haven't talked to me in here? Listen, I'm sorry. So back yonder, long ago, whatever the case may be, I was hurt by something you said or did. But you know, and the truth of the matter is because of that, I had ill feelings towards you. And I know that as a Christian, I'm not to have ill feelings toward my brother. I want you to know I'm sorry. And you know what? If you can come to the grips with that kind of Christianity, that'll take you a long way in that healing process. Because as I'm going to read that verse one more, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. And pray, well, it's tough, especially when you're embittered towards somebody. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Boy, there might be a lot of people here this morning that needs a lot of healing. Bitterness is destroying you little by little by little. That seed, maybe there's some of you, you know, you're able to, hey, no matter what people say, you're able to stay on top side and praise the Lord. Don't you let your guard down. There's some of you got that seed in your hand and you're about ready to go ahead and swallow it, so to speak, because you're mad and you're angry and you're just going to swallow it. And I'm not going to go ahead ever, I'm going to touch that or talk to that person ever again. And you swallow that, and there's some of you, you've got that seed and you've dwelled on that thing and the root is so strong that you feel like it can never be healed. My friend, it can be healed. But you got to admit it's wrong, it's sin. Number two, you got to confess it to God. But you know what? You ought to go to that person, irregardless. The Bible teaches it. Go to that person and say, you know what? It was sin for me to have this kind of feeling. I'm sorry. By the way, that's Christ-like. That's Christianity. Hey, listen. Bitterness will keep some from getting saved. You may be here this morning, you've never heard a message like this, you've never heard preaching like this, you've never been to a church like this, and maybe it's a little unusual, but you know you're here this morning, I believe, because God brought you here. And maybe you're here today, and you know what? Exactly what was preached about this morning, you're dealing with it. And you're so bitter, you're angry at people, you're angry at the job, you're angry at home, you're angry at church, you're angry at God. And you're at a point where I don't want anything to do with God. Why don't you this morning? And that bitterness is keeping you from getting saved. Don't let it happen. Don't let bitterness take you to hell. And if you're unsaved this morning, you're bitter, that's what's going to happen because there's only heaven, there's only hell, there's no in between. Don't let bitterness go ahead and take you to hell. You know what? Maybe you got to get it right. You got to come before God. You got to realize maybe you're lost this morning, but you're bitter. You're angry at somebody. You're here as a visitor, whatever the case may be. And you realize, boy, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know this bitterness has just clouded my memory or my mind about God or anything. But boy, maybe you're feeling something in your heart this morning. You got to get it right and you got to be saved. Don't let bitterness keep you from becoming a child of God. You got to understand you're a sinner. Understand there's a price on sin. That price is hell. But number three, Jesus, he paid that price. And all you have to do for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't let bitterness take you to hell. If you're not saved this morning, I plead with you in just a few minutes. You come down. Maybe you're empty. You don't know for sure you're saved. You want to be saved this morning? I plead with you. You step out in just a little while. Come down. You shake my hand. Say, preacher, I want to be saved. And I'll have someone sit down with the precious word of God, show you from the Bible how to be saved. So, Christian, need some healing? Got some heartache? Simply because of bitterness, that root, so tough. Maybe it's sprouted so much that you almost think it's virtually impossible to dig out. It can come out. And I plead with you this morning, no matter what level it is, Let's get it right this morning. Because if you go ahead and stew about it, it's going to destroy you, as the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It's troubling you. But eventually, it's going to defile and trouble those around you. It's going to affect your family and affect everybody, because all you think about is that one thing. And maybe you need to deal with it this morning. Close with this illustration. Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least sympathizing with her loss. And after a brief silence, Lee said, "Cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain and let bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life." Some of you might be dealing with that poison of bitterness. And I plead with you as your pastor, dig it out. You see, I wanted to beautify, if you will, our piece of property in Maine. I wanted to widen our drive. I wanted to do some work. But that old tree there is in the way. What did I do? I cut it down. I worked that thing back and forth, back and forth. And I was told, "Ed, it's not going to happen." Oh, yes, it will. I'm not going to let that root go ahead and destroy me and what I want to do. I'm going to go ahead and get the old axe out of the chainsaw. And it was gone forever. You know what? Maybe it's loosened, but it's still there. You might need to get that spiritual axe out and hack it away. With God's help, and hack it away. With the preachers praying for you, hack it away, hack it away, hack it away, hack it away. Hack it away. And then it'll be gone. And then, the result, yeah, it made our property look better. And you know what? When it was gone, when it's gone in your life, boy, it'll make you a whole lot better Christian. It'll make you a whole lot more positive Christian, if you will. It'll cause you to get some things in order. You get back to work as normal. You treat your family as normal. You'll get some things right. Bitterness. I don't know what level it is today. Maybe it's just the seed. Why don't you deal with it this morning? I don't know. Maybe it's a tough root. Why don't you just deal with it this morning? Today's the day I'm going to start hacking that thing away, preacher. You're unsaved this morning. Bitterness in the way. Why don't you decide, you know, I'm going to become a child of God today. Our Heavenly Father. Sure to love you. Just kind of wanted to talk to these dear people. My people. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be the pastor here of these dear people. God, I get concerned for my folks, and I want my folks to be free of bitterness. I don't want their families hurt. I don't want their children hurt. I don't want them hurt individually. And I pray, God, that if there's some bitterness that needs to be dealt with this morning, maybe it's just a little seed. Maybe it's not even there yet. Maybe someone's just got to go ahead and just come before you and seal it and say, "I'm not going to ever let bitterness deal with it." I don't know what it is, God. But I pray, God, whatever it is, they'll deal with it. I pray, God, that it won't rob them of their joy and their peace and their child rearing and spouses and all that. Maybe there's someone here, they don't know for sure they're saved. I pray, dear God, that they'll step out at the first note. Come forward, become a child of God today. We ask all these things. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.